May only his words be spoken, only his words heard. Amen. False steps, he'll come and get us from Ezekiel 34, apparently Mark Anderson's favorite chapter of the Bible. I didn't know that. Isn't it interesting throughout the Bible that God calls us sheep? Over 500 times in the Bible, it talks about shepherds and sheep. I find that interesting. And of course, Jesus is the good shepherd, right? The good shepherd. Why do you think he identified us with sheep? You know, in a children's sermon, I asked them, what animal would you like to be identified with? Not one of them picked sheep. Of course, one of them picked a dolphin. Because she liked to swim, right? And one liked a cat, and one was a dog. Many think that sheep are passive and helpless, kindly and lovable, and not too smart. Well, the sainted Bob Linneberry, that veterinarian, is in heaven now. He loves sheep, and he took me to task in sermons way back when I said those things, that sheep were stupid, passive, kindly and loving. And he set me down and he said, consider these things, because Bob Linneberry loves sheep, right? And he changed my mind on sheep because I did my own research. Yes, it isn't so. For instance, about them being lovable. In New Zealand, which is famous for having more sheep than people, about a third of the farmers have been seriously injured by attacks by sheep. You doubt that? Don't. How do they usually attack? They come at the back and charge them and hit their knees and vertebrae. Those dastardly sheep. Sheep can be stubborn, willful, prone to getting lost, need rescuing. Sounds like a lot of people I know. Sounds like you and me. I had my own encounter with sheep that was absolutely maddening. I was driving out west with my brother. We were making a tour out west. And I was driving VW Bug. And we came down this road, and I saw the sheep were crossing the road. They were going to get in our way. So what did I do? Just honked the horn. What did the sheep do? They got around the car and stayed there for a half an hour. So I'm not too kindly to sheep. But our scripture today is from Ezekiel. It's about sheep run amok. Sheep can also be ignored, exploited, and fleeced by those who were sent to guide them. I need to explain some biblical history here to understand our scripture today from Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet, and he wasn't in Israel. He was in exile in Babylon. Now, to be a prophet of God was a very important task, but it wasn't a good one. Most of the prophets were persecuted. And God asked, for instance, God asked Ezekiel to do all kinds of really hard things to demonstrate lessons to the people in exile. Really, really hard things. He also had to see his wife die, and he was told not to mourn. So there was a lot of sacrifice in being a prophet, a lot of sacrifice. Now, the nation of Israel, after King Solomon's reign, had broken up into two kingdoms. In the north, it was the kingdom of Israel, and the capital city was Samaria. In the south, it was the kingdom of Judah, with the capital in Jerusalem. As time went on, both kingdoms deserted the one true God. They took on the ways of the nations that surrounded them. And doing such perverse things as sacrificing their children to idols and incorporating sexual immorality into their religious practices, among other things, like deceiving and defrauding their neighbors, lots of violence. They became as bad as the nations all around them. God warned them repeatedly through his prophets. But eventually, from rulers and priests down to the peasants, the vast majority became totally disobedient to God, corrupt and thoroughly evil. So the kingdom of Israel, the northern kingdom, was the first to go, the first to feel God's wrath. They were defeated by the cruel Assyrians. The entire nation was enslaved and exiled. Noses were cut off, ears cut off, women's hair shaved. Judah would follow not much later to the equally cruel Babylonians, who would thoroughly destroy Jerusalem and the temple, and they too were heartless, the kind of cruelty and hatred toward the Jews was astounding. They took some of their best men and made them eunuchs to serve in the royal palace. It was to these exiled people that Ezekiel was sent. Even after experiencing God's wrath, many of the Jews in exile were unrepentant. And they thought, well, we are God's chosen people. He's not going to let the temple be destroyed. But then when the temple was destroyed, they were in despair, but still unrepentant, many of them. Ezekiel interpreted why God's people, his sheep, were suffering so. But the prophet also revealed God's yearning to get his people back. God's compassion and his love for his sheep. There's a prediction in this chapter, if you listen carefully, that God is going to send the ultimate shepherd, which of course is Jesus, into the world to rescue, restore, and lead his sheep. We, his sheep. Today, evil is growing all around the world. In the United States, we can see it. There's evil, and it's growing. Just like back then, we resonate a lot with Ezekiel and the prophecy he made about God's people and other nations as well. There are religious leaders in our country and throughout the world and political leaders abusing the sheep. They don't look like wolves, but they are. They think of themselves first. The sheep are hurting, they're indifferent, thinking of their own comfort, their own pleasure, their own needs first. These shepherds look like they care, but they don't. Meanwhile, the sheep are getting lost. And we see this all over our country. Sheep are getting lost. People who once knew God don't know him any longer. People who once worshiped him don't worship him any longer. People who once prayed sincerely don't pray anymore. And oftentimes they're led by these false shepherds. Enter the good shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Early in Jesus' ministry, Jesus returned to the place where he was raised, Nazareth. Born in Bethlehem, but raised in Nazareth. where he entered the synagogue, and he was given the honor of reading the scripture that day. And he turned to the book of Isaiah, and this is what he read. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolls up the scroll and he announces, "This scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I'm the shepherd. I've come for my sheep." To know Jesus is to believe in Jesus to be the shepherd, is to know forgiveness of your sins, to be restored and to be led. If you really want to know what Christianity is all about, what it means to be a Christian, it's all about Jesus. What he has done for you, how he loves you, how he leads you. If people talk about being a Christian and they don't mention Jesus, they're probably not a Christian. To the Jews in Ezekiel's day, to those who really, really listened, it was the Messiah to come. It was the promise that a Messiah would come for them, the shepherd. They looked forward. We, on the other hand, look backward to the promise made when Jesus came, the Savior of the world. Now I'm going to ask you a silly question. Do you know who you are? I know, that's kind of a silly question in a way. Do you know who you are? Sometimes I look in the mirror and, oh, that's me. Like we look at a picture or something. But do you know who you really are? Do you know who you are? There are two kinds of people in this world. Those who know they need rescuing and leading, and those who don't. Many of you here, I know it to be true, could join me in saying that Jesus sets the tone for your life, right? Amen? Amen, right. He gives me purpose. He gives me meaning. He gives me direction. I want more than anything to please him, and I know you do too. His presence in my life calms me, and boy, I need calming sometimes, and he gives me courage. I value those two C's, calming and courage. I think every Christian needs those things. There's an author, Oz Hillman, tells about a friend of his who was visiting Israel with other Christian friends, and they were visiting those ancient biblical sites. Well, they went into the rural area, agricultural area, and what did they see there? Well, they saw shepherds. And they saw an interesting thing. There is this round pen that sheep are driven into or led into to stay overnight. So they watched as one shepherd coming from one direction was leading his sheep into the pen for the night. And then just a few minutes later, here comes another shepherd from another direction, and he's leading his sheep into the pen. It's not really big pen, right? Leading him into the pen. And then from another direction, just 15 minutes later, comes another shepherd leading them into the pen. The sheep have no identifying marks on them. They're all intermingling. They're being stuffed into this pen. And these Christian visitors decided they had to bivouac there and see how this was going to turn out the next day. Sure enough, first shepherd comes to the pen and he makes a sound, a particular sound. And out of all the sheep come these sheep, one by one, right to the shepherd. And then a little later on, another shepherd comes and makes a different sound. And out come the sheep. Boy, I would have liked to have seen this, wouldn't you? And out they come to that
shepherd.
And the other sheep must have been particularly stupid because they had to wait till the other ones got out, you know. And then the final shepherd comes. Oh, I would have loved to seen that. So who are you? Are you one who listens? Do you know the voice of the one who's come for you? Are you part of his flock? Even now, Jesus calls out, why keep going your own way? Repent and believe while you yet can, because your way will always lead the wrong way. His way leads ultimately to the good pasture, which is heaven. Now consider this. Jesus has made all of us under shepherds of a kind. Pastors are often called under shepherds. We have a few pastors here today, right? And the word pastor literally means to feed and to care for the flock. Pastor. That's the role actively here, Pastor Travis and myself perform for the community of believers and seekers. Right? We feed and care for. But aren't all of us under shepherds of a kind? Don't all of us have a role like that? Parents, under shepherds of their children. They can help lead them to hear the true voice of the one and only shepherd, Jesus. Or they can be a hindrance to that. They cannot care. They cannot lead them. Every adult, I think, is over someone in some role or another. Employees may be under your care. You may be a boss. Some of you look like bosses. Students under teachers, soldiers under officers, citizens under elected officials. Are you not an under shepherd? Are you leading them to follow the shepherd along that good path? And Mother Teresa, who served the poorest of the poor in Calcutta, she also ministered to those with dread diseases that nobody wanted to touch. The diseases that kill lots of people. She was asked how she could minister to such people with these horrid illnesses, and she replied, I just pretend they're Jesus. She had a role to play. Open your eyes. See all the opportunities to guide and influence people to the one and only shepherd, Savior of all. You have influence. The question is, are you going to use it? And are you going to use it for him? I don't want to leave my message today without another subject, in a sense. I said this is the last Sunday of the church year. The church year is different than our normal year, right? So next Sunday is Advent, the beginning of our church year. And what do we usually preach? And I did, in part, preach on in the last Sunday of the year. We preach on the judgment, the coming of the Lord. Listen, I do believe evil is growing. I think it's spreading. It's malignant, right? It's spreading through our country. It's spreading throughout the world. Horrible things are done to other people. And there are a lot of false shepherds. And they seem to be growing, leading people astray. I wouldn't be a good under-shepherd myself if I didn't warn you. If you read this Bible, the Lord said, tough times can be ahead. It's a testing for God's people. Will they continue to listen? They continue to follow? Or will they peel off? Will they say, well, you know, this is just the way it is? There's some urgency. There's some urgency. Time is short. You know, if ever Pastor Travis or myself got up here and we preached things that are not in here, are you going to let that stand? No. You should be reading this so you can say, wait a minute, Pastor, that's not true. Now, I think first you bring it to us, you know, before you shoot us with an arrow or a gun or something like that. But then if it's persistent, some of you know what I'm talking about, you have to do the hard thing. You have to leave. You have to not listen anymore, right? And that's important. It really is. You can't blame your being separated from the Lord just on us shepherds, under shepherds. You cannot blame us because you have a role to play in this. There is going to be a judgment, and for us who believe, it's going to be a glorious day. But there's going to be a separation of the sheep from the goats. It's going to happen. Persevere in your faith and persevere in your calling to be a good under-shepherd, to influence people. Time is short. One of my fellow pastors says, time is short and hell is hot. So we have to hear the shepherd's voice. In the name of Christ, may we follow. Okay, I have to do this. Let's all give a ba. Instead of an amen. Ready? One, two, three. Ba. Amen.